We got a defibrillator machine over there. I've always wanted to try it out. I really have. It came with instructions. You know us guys, we don't read instructions. I've watched enough hospital shows. I'm pretty sure I can run one of them. Who wants to be a volunteer? Huh? Susie doesn't have any faith in me. What an interesting song set, John, wherever you went, little buddy. There he is over there. Because he talked about one of them that I thought was, whom shall I fear, that he sang, and whom shall I fear? And my message this morning is, true faith confesses the Lord. True faith confesses the Lord. So what is that all about? How many of you have ever been tempted? Anybody besides the Pat? Yeah, man. By the way, if you drove into this side of the parking lot, you'll see out there those two red containers that are 40 foot long that were completely free. God blessed us with those, and so I am grateful. We need to just thank God for those. Ree's going to fill one of them up with clothing to hand out. So we need to put some shelves in there by faith, amen, so that it can be organized. We need to squirt a little oil, I think, on the hinges because they're a little bit stiff. But all in all, they are in extremely good shape, especially for the price. Amen. Free 99 all day long, we'll take that. So many thanks to the donor for that. For those, God, I just feel like God is just setting things in order. He's lining things up, and we just have to be ready to step through the door when the Lord opens it. Amen? The devil tempts us for one reason, and that is to destroy our faith. Amen? And I don't know about the rest of you. Well, I do know about the rest of you because I just asked for a show of hands. But listen, if he can get you to doubt in any way, he's pretty much got the battle won. Amen? And so I want to just talk to you this morning. I got up very early this morning and the Lord, I was going in a different direction and the Lord said, no, we're going this way. And so here we go. But the devil tempts us to destroy our faith. But God tests us. Did you hear the difference in the two words? The devil tempts us. God tests us. Amen. The devil tempts us to destroy us. God tests us to develop us. Amen. He wants to develop our faith. And because faith can't be tested, or rather a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Amen? A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. How many of you have ever stepped out in faith and fell flat on your face? What did you do in response to that? Get up. Get up and go again. Don't stay down. Faith, false faith withers in times of trial, but true faith takes deeper roots, grows, and brings glory to God. And so it explains why God has permitted, and I want us to look this morning at the three Hebrew boys that were tested and then thrown into the fiery furnace. Amen? I want to talk about this because they trusted God and they still got thrown in the fire. How many of you know just because you step out in faith doesn't mean you're not going to get thrown in the fire? Doesn't mean you're not going to get shot at a little bit. doesn't mean that some things might go sideways, but we are to stand true in faith no matter what. And Peter must have been well acquainted with the book of Daniel because he uses the metaphor of the fiery trial when he warns his readers of the persecutions about to come to the church. Listen, you and I have to make up our mind. By and large, the majority of us, I would say, just by knowing who most of you are, that we are by and large all saved in this place. And there's some that I don't know, but I think by and large we're saved. But are we growing in our faith? Are we stepping out in faith? Have we experienced things? And if so, then there's going to be fiery trials that come our way. There's going to be times when we just have to stand up and say, not today, devil. Not today. And if he can just get you and I to compromise, amen? If he can just get us to compromise just the slightest little bit, he's got us over a barrel. And so we've just got to make up our minds, and I think that's why the Lord is bringing this message this morning, but that true faith confesses the Lord. Listen, no matter what has happened yesterday, today's a brand new day. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, His mercies. We get a do-over every morning. You can't do anything about what you did yesterday except for repent. Give all of it to the Lord and get back up. If you fell, get up. Walk forward. Exercise. Grow your faith. I did something yesterday that I just think is crazy. I went to a weightlifting competition. And it was an interesting thing. I've never been to a weightlifting, and I'm like, how in the world? I mean, because when you're wrestling or playing football, I mean, you're matched up, but these guys and gals, they were all just kind of competing against themselves, really. And it was interesting to watch the dynamics of people that were secure in what they were doing. And those that maybe weren't so secure in what they were doing. And there were those that wanted everybody else to see what they were doing. And there were others that absolutely, it didn't bother them at all that the place was full of people. They weren't there for any kind of a show. They were just there in an air of absolute confidence in what they've done. And it was obvious where preparation was and how it combined and how it brought success to different ones. I just thought it was fascinating to watch all the... I'm a kind of a people watcher anyway, but to watch that dynamic unfold, it was just crazy. And I thought about that, and I thought about faith, and I thought about how, you know, those guys, some of them, you know, they do all these things. I'd never been to, like I said, and one guy, he was just a little bitty guy, but he was pretty stout, but I noticed that every time he'd go to do his thing, he would go and sit down, and he'd stick his legs out, and some other guy would come over there and take these nylon belts, and wrap around his legs, and so when he'd get up and walk, he'd walk like this because he couldn't bend his legs. It was crazy. And so I asked Casey, I said, what's the point? Why put yourself through something like that? So and they have these belts that they put around here. It's like, why do you do that to yourself where you got to put all this stuff to hold you together so you can do something? Because without all that stuff, there's stuff liable to just blow apart. Why do that? That's crazy. I was more than content to just watch them. I walked out of there with a backache. It's crazy the preparation that goes forth. But you know what?
faith is just like that. We got to exercise our faith. The experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego helps us examine and take a look at our own faith and determine whether we have the kind of authentic faith that can be tested and bring glory to God. And so, on Wednesday nights, if you haven't been here, I would invite you and encourage you to come on Wednesday night. We've been talking about faith and talking about what faith does for us as disciples. And then on Sunday night, we've been talking about effective prayer and what that looks like and how effective prayer was used during the other times in the Bible and different key people that I've brought up. And last Sunday night, by no coincidence, the focus of prayer was on Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. I mean, you know, if you're facing a lion's den, you probably need to be praying. Amen. I mean, I just think it's true, but Daniel was like the three Hebrew boys who refused to bow and worship the king or any idol that he had set up. He refused to do it. And so it infuriated the king, and so they had to pay. There was a price that had to be paid. And so this morning I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Would invite you to stand with me as we read this. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 13, excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image that I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Father, I just pray right now, God, that you would anoint me to declare your word, the truth of your word, that, Lord, some way I would be able to convey this message, Lord, the way that I feel like you want your people to receive it. And I pray that Lord, we'd leave here with our faith stretched, with our faith challenged, and Lord, that some way, somehow, you'd use this message to bring somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as they take, maybe for the first time, a deliberate step of faith towards you and say, "Lord, forgive me and save my soul." Now, God, I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, "Amen and amen." You may be seated. See, true faith isn't frightened by threats. Amen. True faith is not frightened by threats. In fact, it's not impressed by the crowds, and it's not swayed by superstitious ceremonies. True faith obeys the Lord and trusts Him to work out the consequences. It's interesting. I love these stories like this. And again, on Wednesday night, we read about Daniel. We talked about Daniel and the king didn't really want to throw him in the fiery furnace, but he was bound by law. And so he had to do that. And so he threw him in the lion's den. And the next morning, the Bible said that he stayed awake all night and was praying for Daniel. Isn't that amazing? And God, early in the morning, he went to the lion's den and he cried out, and Daniel said, "Hey, I'm here, man. It's all good." And you know, it's they refused to give in to the demands of the world. So faith isn't frightened by threats. It's not impressed by crowds. But true faith obeys the Lord and trusts Him to work out the consequences. So these three Jewish men knew the law of God. And according to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." They knew those verses. They knew those forms of the law. And they knew that there was no way on God's green earth that they were going to go against what God had said for them to do. By faith they stood, and by faith the Lord delivered them out of those situations. And once the Lord has spoken on a matter, the matter is settled, and there's no room for discussion or need for compromise. How many of you know that's true this morning? It's just pure truth. So to bow before the image even once, no matter what excuse they might give, would have destroyed their witness and broken their fellowship with God. How many of us today know and realize that you only get one chance to blow it? And if you don't stand strong in that moment, your witness will be weakened. I've had that. I've experienced that in my own life. I remember one time in the middle of the night, we were doing a pour down in Utah, in St. George, Utah, and we were running out of concrete powder. And so they knew who I was and what I stood for, and so they asked me to talk to the man upstairs. How many of you know we know who they're talking about, but that's not who he is? He's God Almighty. Amen. Asked me if I'd talk to him about getting some more powder, and I mustered all of my faith and went in the bathroom and prayed. And you know what God did? He answered the prayer. And that was great. The problem was, I knew in my spirit, I knew inside of me that I had just blown a great opportunity to stand as a witness in front of all of those men, and I blew it. I went in the bathroom. I went in my closet. Sometimes we need to stay out of the closet and just do what we're called to do. But God answered that prayer regardless of my weakness. And no matter what, to bow before the image even once, which I shouldn't have done. I didn't bow before any. I just didn't stand in his presence. So in this verb in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, we're not going to turn there, but the tense of the Greek there indicates that Satan, it's when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and Satan asked Jesus to worship him only one time. Just bow down to me one time and I'll give you all of this. Jesus said, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Aren't you glad today that he didn't give in? Not even one time. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the golden image, even though, even once rather, because it would not lead to serving Nebuchadnezzar's false gods for the rest of their lives. Once again, we see the king blows up in this fit of anger. He does it in verse 13. He does it in verse 19. He does it again in chapter 2 and verse 12. And he had conquered many cities and many nations, but he could not conquer himself. He could not bring his temper and all of the stuff that he had going against him under control. So he must have had special respect for these men. People will look at you differently when you live for the Lord. When you take a stand for God, people will notice there's something different about you. And so he had respect for them and for the work that they did in his empire, because he gave them another opportunity. The officials had already said, listen, these guys have blown it. They need to immediately be thrown into the fire. Immediately. But Nebuchadnezzar said, no, let's give them one more chance. And he said, listen, if you guys, when you hear the sound, if you'll just bow and worship, you'll be spared. They said, not going to happen. And it infuriated him. And you know the story. He told them to stoke the fire, get it seven times hotter. So hot that when the soldiers that had bound them and took them down to throw them into the fire, it killed them just following out and carrying out the orders of the king. It killed them. It was that hot. See, Nebuchadnezzar may have forgotten that he had called their God the God of gods and the Lord of kings in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, because he arrogantly asked, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? When that's a bad statement to make. And it cost him. In a short time, he would be humbled. He'd have to confess that the God of the Hebrews is in fact the Most High God, and that nobody should blaspheme His name. Nobody. These three men could have compromised with the king and defended their disobedience by arguing. And in fact, this is what we would do today. Well, everybody else was doing it. How many of you know He didn't call you to be like everybody else? Everybody else is doing it. Well, how about this? Our office demands that we obey. Or, well, we'll bow our knees, but we won't bow our hearts. I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. They might have even went so far as to say, well, we can do our people more good by being officers in the king's service than by being ashes in the king's furnace. But true faith doesn't look for loopholes. True faith does not look for loopholes. It simply obeys God and knows that He will do what is best. How many of you know what He does that is best doesn't always fit into our definition of best? Faith rests on commands and promises, not arguments and explanations. God does not owe you and I an explanation. Times of adversity are usually times of opportunity, especially when God's people are being persecuted for your faith. Have you been persecuted? Do you know what it's going to be like when we really become the persecuted? Faith is going to have to be activated in your life, or you're not going to make it. You got to learn how to stand strong now, because if you don't, you won't be able to stand strong then. You will, according to Mark 13 and verse 9, you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Times of adversity are usually times of opportunity, especially when we're persecuted. Jesus personalized His prophecy by explaining that the disciples themselves would face severe persecution. How many of you know the Bible says this about you and I? the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we're not going to get out of it. So what are we going to do? We've got to prepare for it. Just like those weightlifters had been preparing for who knows how long. Some had been preparing for a long, long time. Some were just getting started. And you could tell the difference. You could see the difference. Being handed over to the courts referred to the local Jewish courts that were held in synagogues, and they would also find themselves standing trial before the Gentile governors and kings. But trials have a purpose. How many of you know that? Trials have a purpose. And the disciples were to tell them about Jesus. In the midst of their being on trial, what do you know about Jesus? Asking the kings and the judges and the rulers, well, what do you know about Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? It was their job to, they were brought before them and to tell them about Jesus. And these three Jews weren't concerned at all about themselves. Nevertheless, no matter what, we're not going to serve and bow down to your idols. They weren't concerned about themselves, nor were they afraid of the fury of the king, because they knew that as long as they were in the hollow of the hand of Almighty God, no one and no thing could touch them. Not ever. Their only concern was obeying the Lord and giving a faithful witness to all who were watching and listening. And you know they were watching and listening. There are people that are watching you. Whether you know that or not, they're watching you. They're listening to what you say. They're scrutinizing probably everything that you do. Their attitude was respectful, and their words were few and carefully chosen. Look again at Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They didn't get ugly. They didn't get smart mouth. They just simply declared the truth of God's Word. What they were really saying was, we don't need to defend ourselves or our God, because God will defend Himself and us. God's big enough God to defend Himself and to defend me. They weren't worried the least little bit. Our task, church, is to obey God and to trust Him, and He'll do the rest. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. They stated that their God was able to deliver them, but even if He didn't, they still wouldn't fall down before the king's golden image. They wouldn't do it. They'd already made up their mind. I talked about this the other night. We can't wait until we're in the midst of the battle to decide what we're going to do. We got to have the plans already got to be in motion. We've already got to have ourselves established. Faith has already got to be exercised. Faith has got to be built up. Our relationship. We got to know how to talk to the Lord. We got to know what God's Word says. There's Against a straight line, all others are crooked. If you want to know if something's straight, put something that is straight against it. And God's Word is true. It's straight. It's on the level, if you will. It never changes. Ever. They made the statement that their God was able to deliver them. But even if He didn't, they weren't going to fall down and worship. There is such a thing, church, and especially in our day and age, there is such a thing as commercial faith. Commercial faith. Well, what is that? Commercial faith is what says that we will obey God if He rewards us for doing it. Think about that. Think about that. We will obey God if He rewards us for doing it. It's the devil's philosophy, really, of worship. All these things I'll give to you, he said to Jesus, if you'll fall down and worship me. I'll give you all this stuff. But the thing is, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew what God's word said. And Jesus knew what the outcome would be if he caved in. We got to stand strong. I've heard people make promises to God so that they can persuade Him to heal them or to change their circumstance. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but my guess is there's probably at least one or 20 or 30 in here this morning that's bargained with God. God, if you'll just do this one thing. If you'll just get me out of this jam. If you'll just heal my child, or if you'll just heal me, or if you'll this or that or the other, that's bargaining with God. If you'll do this, I'll do that. You should do that whether he does this or not. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. But that's not believing in God. That's not faith. That's bargaining. True faith confesses the Lord and obeys Him regardless of the consequence. That's true faith. And so from the very beginning of their time in Babylon, Daniel and his three friends determined that they were going to be different. They were going to be men of honor. They were going to be those that the Lord would establish and maintain that determination. Why? Because they trusted in Him. If you go into the New Testament, the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it lists the names of the deeds of great men and women of faith. And these three men are in the crowd in verse 34. But in verse 36, the writer says, and others, and then lists people who seem to be failures in spite of their faith. But let me tell you, the Greek word means others of a different kind. In other words, it's the others who had faith, but they didn't see God do the miracle. But they still made it into the faith hall of fame, if you will. They didn't get to see the miracles, but they maintained their determination. They had failures in spite of their faith. God always rewards faith, but He doesn't always step in and perform special miracles. But He does always reward faith. Not everybody that prays is healed. Not everybody that prays is healed. But God always gives the strength to bear with pain and the grace to face death without fear. That's why it's important to know where you're going to spend eternity. Because when you know where you're going to spend eternity, the transition from here to there isn't that big of a deal. It is for us because we're going to be left behind, and we know that. But for the one making the transition, if they really know God, it's graduation day. It's graduation day. These three Hebrew men believed that God could deliver them. They believed it. There was no doubting. But they would trust Him even if He didn't. How many times do we get mad at God because He didn't answer the prayer the way we wanted Him to answer it? And we get mad and we get our tail in a knot and, well, I'm not going to go to that church anymore. I'm not going to pray. I'm just not even going to believe in God anymore. Well, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do when the trumpet sounds? That's a bad day. Faith is supposed to operate this way in our life. Regardless of what He does, I'm not changing where my faith rests. Let me close with this passage in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on its vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know how to start your walk of faith with heads bowed and eyes closed and people praying. Maybe you're here and you don't know about faith. You don't know how to establish your relationship with the Lord. Well, let me tell you, it's the greatest first step you'll ever take. Everybody gets excited when a baby takes its first step. Everybody just gets excited. Why? Because that first step is going to lead to a walk, the ability to walk for a lifetime. And I pray this morning that somebody in this house, by faith, will recognize that their Father is holding them and encouraging them to go ahead and take that step. To trust Him that even if they stumble, He'll be right there. He said He would. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and though he stumble. See, the Lord's already making provision for when we stumble. He'll catch us. He'll uphold us, the Bible says, with His arm. So this morning, as you're seated here, let me ask you, is today the day that you exercise your faith by saying, Lord, I don't know that I've ever taken a step of faith. I don't know if I've ever surrendered my life completely and totally over to You. But today, based on what Your Word says and what that preacher said, today I'm going to take my first step with Jesus and ask You to come into my life. If that's you, raise your hand this morning. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. I'm taking my first step. It's a baby step, but I'm going to take my first step. Amen. Father, this morning, God, you have been in this place. Lord, You are an encourager of our faith. And I pray this morning, God, that You would help us, just like those weightlifters, God, to exercise our faith. And when this load gets easy to trust for, we're trusting for other things. We trust for bigger things. We trust for things, God, that will bring glory and honor to Your kingdom, God, things that stretch us. But at the end of the day, Lord, regardless of whether You answer the prayer the way we want You to or not, then, God, we're still going to trust You. We're still going to trust You, Lord. And I pray, as this service comes to a close today, God, that You would be glorified in every one of our lives. God, that You would stretch us, cause us to step out in faith in greater ways. Just like Bill said, that if we're going to grow a great church here, we're going to have other people doing things. We're going to have to be building teams. Lord, that's going to take steps of faith. And I pray, God, as this church begins to take those steps, that, Lord, You'll meet us right there, Father, every time, at the point of our need. God, I thank You for it. Again, I pray, Lord, for Your healing. Lord, these altars are open. If someone needs prayer, God, we'll pray. Lord, and I, by faith, trust that you're going to be healing Sylvia, that you're healing Janice Swan, that you're healing Janice Unger. Lord, that you're bringing healing to Mickey. God, that you're bringing healing to each person that needs your touch. And for that, God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you back here tonight.